fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to our Penguin Episode 1 review. Hope that you guys enjoy this. Is this Colin Farrell's best DC villain yet? Who knows? We don't know yet. We don't know anything, but we do know that this episode, the first episode of Season 1 of The Penguin, is fire. So let's go on ahead and pick a play for podcast, and myself are going to be reviewing Season 1, Episode 1 of The Penguin. And hey, man, welcome to the show. I see you got happy Batman Day, by the way. Happy Batman.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
It's going to be weird when we talk about a show that he's not actually, you know, appearing
in it. But he's speaking of in the series, though.
Yes, it's the universe.
It's the universe. But, you know, though, I really love the fact that we are back in the world of Matt Reeves, even though it's on a smaller scale. But the look of Gotham is just fantastic. This is probably the best version of Gotham that we've gotten. If you look at it, it feels like Gotham. It feels dirty. It feels like a New York City kind of vibe to it. Don't get me wrong, I love Christopher Nolan and stuff like that, but there's something the way that Matt Reeves does Gotham that really stands out. It reminds me of the Arkham video games and stuff like that too. But this is actually basically The Sopranos meets Penguin meets Gotham. But what about for you?
Yeah, man, I'm going to have to agree with you. I think what really kind of stood out for me alongside with the performances, the score, storytelling in the original the Batman movie that came out about a year or two ago was the look and feel of Gotham. It's the city that you feel like you're really in, but obviously for the story of it, what goes on in it, you probably don't want to be there. But
no.
The look and feel of it is just really good, well done, especially at night. It's just something about the glow, the lighting of it all. Makes it very immersive. Yeah.
It really does. And, you know, when I love Colin Farrell. I think he does a fantastic job of playing Oswald. I think that he gives us a reason to actually care about his character and things like that, too. But when we see him and getting introduced back into his character again, it's only a week after the assassination of Carmine Falcone and the destruction of Gotham's seawall. So I like the fact of how they make the connection with the Batman and introducing us back into this world again. This could actually fall into basically a sequel to the Batman if they did it this way. But I like how they do it where it's just a Penguin gangster show. It's not so much as a comic book show, it's a gangster show. And it's fantastic. From the point where we actually get Oswald only a week after the assassination, and then Oswald is caught by Alberto Falcone, Carmine's son, in her apartment as he recovers a stash of Falcone's valuables from the Iceberg Lounge. And I like that. I love the look of the ice. This actually does feel like the Arkham video game. It actually feels like the comic book. And he gets caught by the son of the Falcones. And I like how he sits down with him. And you could definitely tell Oswald does not respect this guy at all, even though he's now the new heir to the throne, if you will, of the mob. Because number one, he's young. Number two, he doesn't have the experience to take over the business. Even though he says he respects him, even though Oswald does tell him, hey, look, I do respect you. But you can tell in the tone, though, he does not respect this kid at all. Well, how do you feel about that?
Oh, yeah, man. The opening scene just right away it just brought me back into this world. You know, seeing the Penguin obviously being this amazing master manipulator. He says one thing, but he has, you know, ulterior motives. He just doesn't get caught until after he takes you out and you can't come back into that. And you know, that's just really a testament to his character. One second you do kind of feel for him until he reminds you, just in case, when he does that face.
Oh, yeah. When he does that little face thing like a Tony Soprano, you do know that you're dead at that point.
Cooked.
But I like how he winds up telling him, because this kind of reminds me also of Godfather 2 with the whole parade out in the streets, and he's telling it, the son, he's like, look,
I have a vision.
But you know what, though? It reminds me of this. Like, there was a parade that was laid out for this other mob boss, and how how Oswald respected this boss, and how about how everybody threw a parade for him. And I like how Falcone's son is calling him out on his own shit. He's like, wait, this is not about me. This is about you and how you're being represented as to being a mob boss. This is not about me. Like, this is about you.
No, it's not. No, let's go back to you.
Right? I like how he like tries to be passive aggressive with it. He goes, and he's like, no, this is not about me. This is about you. This is about how I see you, not the way that you're seeing me.
If I call someone, just go straight to the insults. Oh, man, you're just a bitch, man. You suck.
But I like how he does that. And then, you know, then he winds up shooting. He winds up shooting Falcone's Alberto. He winds up shooting Alberto. And at first he kind of laughs about it. He goes, fuck.
I love cutoffs when it's done right. So that was funny.
Right? Because at that moment, you know, he's not thinking logically. He's thinking of anger.
Yeah.
And stuff like that too. So I like how we're about 10 minutes into this whole entire deal, and then you get the credit of the Penguin logo, which I thought was a really cool cold opening on how you would open a show to give us the tone. And that was the first thing I thought of. They're showing us the tone right off the bat, no pun intended. But, you know, I just thought that the way they did it and the way they laid it out, you already know the plot line of what we're getting. But what did you think of the fact, too, that now he has to try and get rid of the body? Oswald now has to get rid of the body now, and he's carrying down Alberto in a body bag. And then he winds up discovering Vic downstairs, which is also this other kid. And they're trying to steal his hubcaps and stuff like that, and try to sell the rims and stuff like that. And basically, Oswald is basically telling him, hey, look, there's other ways of actually earning money besides stealing rims. We really want to go ahead and steal rims, and he winds up showing him where to actually go. And so at that point, he winds up shooting at everybody else, and they run off. But Vic still stays, and he's, of course, you're fearing for Vic. Vic is sweating bullets right now.
I was scared for Vic. I felt like I was Vic in that moment, just looking at this grizzly looking dude.
Right, because this guy's like weighs over 200 something pounds, weighs more than. And you're also
got a funny little walk,
right? But also, too, you're also witnessing everything. You're also witnessing him shooting at his friends. You're also witnessing him carrying down a body bag, and you're like, this is not going to end well for me at all,
right?
And so now he's like, look, he tells Vic, I need you to help me put him in the trunk. So he puts him in the trunk. And then from there, that's when we really get this whole entire deal of Vic and Oswald working together.
Yeah.
And
like I was on edge for that. every single scene. As it progressed, I kind of saw that the bond kind of started to grow. But early on, after that war, I felt like there was some almost like you can turn it at any moment.
And then you have he recruits Victor Aguilar to assist him. Oz learns that the Falcones plan to assume control of the drug ring. He also encounters Alberto's sister, Sophia Falcone, who will give us nightmares later on. We'll talk about that. But, you know, I like how he goes over to the junkyard. And you already know he's going to dispose of the body. But he's not just going to dispose of one body. He's going to kill Vic after he got done helping him.
Right.
And I mean it. I was actually on the edge of my seat. I'm like, this is not good for Vic.
Don't do this. And Vic is just playing like, please, don't take me. I can, whatever you need to, I can do this.
Because I can be useful. I'm useful.
Right.
Don't kill me. I'm useful. I can tell you. I can do this. I can do what you need me to do. But just don't kill me, man.
Right. And I love the people's response, like, oh, come on, kid, calm down.
Especially whenever he takes out, you're thinking that he's going to get whacked, too, because Oswald winds up taking out a cigar out of his inside pocket. He goes, come here, kid. I got this for you.
It could have been the exploding cigar.
No, what I was thinking was, I thought he was going to go in and give him the cigar. And he takes a couple puffs. He goes, you feeling good, kid? Yeah. How does it feel? Oh, I love this cigar, Mr. Oswald. I like it. Good. Bam. He kills. I could just. Because that's what I was expecting. I was expecting him to whack the kid anyways, like kind of calm him down. Let him take a couple puffs from the cigar, and then he kills him.
Just on edge.
But then I like how Oz plays into the fact, because he's also manipulating Vic, though, too, by saying, I can relate to you because we're both the same.
Funny day vibes.
But did you feel like that he was manipulating him, or do you really feel like that he really does feel like how Vic feels? Because he doesn't live his mom doesn't live in the best house or anything either.
You know, it's kind of too early to call it, but I think it's a little bit of both, knowing him. And I feel like the penguin is very complex, as you can see here.
Right, because he's after his own gain, his own power. Like right. Falcone's son calls him out on everything. It's about him and what he wants and his rise to power. And even when we get introduced to his mother as well, introduced to Oswald's mother. And remember this, when Falcone's son winds up giving him the necklace, he gives the necklace over to his mother, to Oswald's mother. And you know, he puts the necklace around his mom and goes, oh, this looks nice. This is really nice. Because, and then also like how he's going and he leaves Vic at the door. And he also winds up saying, we got to get out of here. We're going to go and take a trip.
Oh.
And you see all the money that he has. But also want to mention this too, though, that I thought was really interesting about Falcone's son whenever he tells him, look, you've been scamming from my family for years. And you've also been taking a little bit off the top. My father turned the other way because it wasn't that much money that you took and schemed off the top for him to actually say anything. But I'm going to be the one who winds up saying, you need to stop that shit. But then we wind up seeing that money bag. I'm thinking to myself, you're scheming more than half off the top if you have that much money. Especially when you're dealing with drugs and stuff. I'm thinking to myself, you're more than taking a half off the top. Even if you're having to give points over to the mob, you're still taking home a pretty good chunk of what you're scheming.
He's not just taking from the top, he is the top.
Right. So that's what I got out of that. And then, you know, his mom winds up stopping Oswald. She's like, look, you're not running from them. You're not going to go into hiding. You're stronger than that. You take, right. It's like, take what you need and want from them. But let's talk about Sophia, because we also go into Sophia first before we get into.
Let me check and look around and make sure she's not around my peripheral. Okay, we're good.
But yeah, when we get into Sophia, she's a nightmare. Like, I don't want to mess with this woman.
Not on Elm Street, period. Just a nightmare.
But what would your intake on Sophia when you first seen her?
Man, just the way that she slunk into the room and the way that Oz, the penguin, to me, looks around like, oh, hey, yeah, I remember her. She immediately starts interrogating him like, do you know what happened to my brother? You have it? No, I know what happened. And the way she just cheats on him.
Right. Just keeps,
no, I don't know. We're going to he disappears for a while. He'll turn back up.
He'll turn back up.
Why don't we go for dinner? We go for dinner. And then I just, and transpiring character. Like you said, she is a nightmare, but she's very interesting to look into because she just keeps at it. Their ambition. And seeing that she's rehabilitated from Arkham, that doesn't bode well.
No, it doesn't. But also, too, she does a good job of interrogating him to the point where he almost breaks and almost rats his own self out. Goes, I'm telling you.
That restaurant scene, turn back down.
He reminds me of like a used car salesman. I'm telling you. He's going to come back. He'll be all right.
She's like, okay, Oz. And then he whispers to him, I know that you're capable of a lot more than people think that you are.
But at the same time, he's like, I can't let her know that I'm scared either.
Right, so she's
like, I don't know what you're talking about, lady. I don't. He goes over to Blackgate. And of course, you know, he also took Falcone's son's, brother, the ring that he took from the other family member. Remember that? Mm-hmm. With Falcone.
True.
From Maroni, I mean. And what I liked about this was, okay, so he takes the ring that supposedly the father ended up giving over to his son. Mm-hmm. I mean, not giving over to his son, my bad. I'm making my own stuff up. But, okay, so basically why that's not happening is this, okay? So he takes the ring and he goes over to Blackgate and he gives it back over to Salvatore. He goes, where did you get this at? They've been making fun of you for years. I'm telling you. And, you know, you've been like a laughing stock to them. They took this as a souvenir and I'm giving you this back to you. And he's trying to use that as leverage as a way to show loyalty, I believe. Salvatore, so he can get out of the Falcone business, because he knows it's dangerous to be in there.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. He's using it as a way to show loyalty, and saying, "Hey, look, I was the one who killed Falcone's son. I was the one who killed him."
Right.
And so you had that happen. Then after that, you have once again you have Sophia that comes in here. And the henchman, and he's scared out of his mind because he's also, I don't understand his logic of looking at Sophia.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On the side of the road, and he's in a purple car.
And wait a minute, it's not purple. It's plum.
It's plum. My bad. I'm sorry. I don't want to get whacked by the penguin. But you know, he sticks out like a sore thumb. So if you're not trying to get noticed and stuff, why are you going to try and look at this woman?
Yeah, that was the dog that made the decision right there. And she's looking dead at him like, I know this motherfucker. Get here. And he's right at him.
He's like, oh, fuck. So he goes on ahead and he's on the run from the henchmen. The henchmen are chasing him. And then you find them in this alleyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he decides. So what he does is he acts like he's going to go in the alley because the 18-wheeler is actually blocking his way to go. So what winds up happening is the henchman winds up going into the alley where the market is and all that stuff. And he winds up coming out of the trunk of the
that I can still fit in here.
I can fit in here. Look, you can fit two bodies in here.
Right.
But it just shows his weakness to the point of how, well, shows how much fear that Sophia has over people, too.
Right. Especially him.
But let's also talk about the fact, too, that he's also calling Victor to try and help him out. But Victor is also away because he told them to go ahead and chop up the body, get rid of it, the body.
Right.
And so, anyways, what winds up happening is this. She winds up interrogating Oswald again. Takes a wire cutter. Yeah, and strips him down to his buttocks.
Right. Ew.
But what did you think of the torture scene?
Just ugh. But it just, this just further showing you how insane she is. She definitely looks dead in his eyes. Just look at me and tell me that it's just intrusive thoughts, that I'm crazy, that I'm really crazy. I'm like, yes, you are. I mean, you're right in this context, but yes, you're crazy the way you're going about it.
Right. But also, another thing, though, too, is, like, she's on the verge of vengeance is because of the fact, too, her brother hasn't turned up. She knows that Oswald knows something. So if I lost my brother, if I didn't know where the fuck he was at, especially whenever she tells him that he comes and sees her every single day, especially on the weekends, and he's not coming home. Yeah, I would be wondering too, especially when Oswald was like the last person to probably see him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would actually act maybe the same way that Sophia is acting. I'm wondering where he's at.
With the wires and everything?
No, not that far. But, you know. But then all of a sudden you see that car come in, the caddy that they put her brother in.
Right. And then scream. My God.
The scream was horrifying to see her brother in there, and then his pinky is cut off. But Vic doesn't realize this, though. He doesn't know that, you know, Oswald gave it back over to Salvatore Maroni or anything either. He doesn't know that he has that ring back. Or if he even had a ring. So what he did was he went on ahead and took the pinky finger without the ring that it was on. And so thinking about it, though, I'm thinking that, you know, it goes into the whole entire fact of the matter is there's going to be a crime war going on because now she's going to probably think that Maroni's was the one who was the one that whacked her brother.
Yep.
And showing that he still controls the streets, therefore letting Oswald go, because now Oswald supposedly has nothing to do with
it. I'm a free man.
Right? Because she even says it. She goes, you have a way of getting away with shit. And
even at the expense of other people's lives and that.
Right. And then all of a sudden there comes the car.
And we were all looking together. I was looking at the screen too, like, the car. And then after me watching it, that car.
Wow. Right. And then she winds up saying, then after that happens, she lets him go. But I like how the conversation between Oswald and Vic is, where he goes, kid, I told you to go and get rid of the body and cut it up. Because, well, I was starting thinking about where do I cut at? About the anatomy of it. And
right, throwing on these medical terms that I'm not trying to get all that. He goes very in debt.
Right. And his logic does make sense, but at the same time, though, you're also helping Oswald without even knowing that you're helping him either by doing that. Because you just saved the dude's life, even though it was supposed to be chopped up. But now it makes it look like, okay, Oswald didn't kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, okay, there's also another foreshadowing moment, though, that I want to talk about. Okay, you know that part where they're in the hotel and they're watching TV and then there's this black and white movie coming on, right? right?
Yeah.
Okay, you know how he tells the kid it's just he's that the girl was just like scapegoat and how basic and how that is? So my thing was this. I'm thinking that Vic is just the scapegoat.
Yeah.
That's helping him, and therefore Oswald's going to backstab him the first time he gets.
Yeah.
Or he's going to end up making Sophia the scapegoat of the whole entire deal.
You think that's a good decision? That's a bit risky.
Well, think of it like this. If he does use Sophia as a scapegoat, and let's say Maroney has a way of getting out of prison on a black gate, and he comes back, they just kill each other. And the person who, why, they could actually both be killing each other to the point where no one, that both parties die, and he comes up out of Gotham being the gangster.
The gangster.
Right. But what do you think of that as a speculation?
You know, those are two possibly very strong foreshadowing theories. I could definitely see both of these possibly trying to, you know, intertwine with each other as the series progresses, perhaps. But I do think that, especially with Window B having Sophia the scapegoat, as far as about to be this big crime war, it seems like a possibility. He's got himself, as we know, out of any situation. He's not going to stop doing that. So until he gets to the top, I'm sure he's going to try to figure his way out of things. It's probably
right.
Very nasty around.
But even with the cops, though, he could also use Vic as a scapegoat to get away from everything, too. So it's two or three different ways that you can play around with it, where right. Vic could be the scapegoat to where he won't get, so therefore nothing will be on Oswald anymore, and everything's on Vic. So if Oswald gets arrested or whatever, he gets it, well, Vic is the one who did it, not me. But, you know, there's a lot of manipulation. He's only after power. He's after money, especially whenever Falcone comes over, tells him that he needs to see him. And he's like, look, Oswald, you're doing a fantastic job of selling the drugs, but we're getting too much heat now. And you also too, the supply, because of the streets on Gotham and stuff like that got flooded, we can have all our inventory now gone. He goes, well, that's not true. I got about 70% of it back. But it's also not a good supply either because of the sewer water and stuff like that. Even his own men said, look, Oz, this is not a good thing here. You know, because, yeah, we have 75% or 70% of the drugs, but it's gone. It's mush. Yeah. It's not something that's worth selling. But
not
Oz is like, right. But it's kind of like, if you think about it, it's kind of like putting angel dust or something and putting mixing it up like concrete or something, so you can get a high or something off of it.
Yeah,
and sell it for a percentage, and that's exactly what he's thinking. He's thinking, well, I can just go ahead and make something up and make it look like it's something good when it's not. But the Falcones want to back out of the deal. He's fighting them on it. And you don't do that, even if you're a capo for the mob. You basically bow down to everything they tell you to do. And that's it. But Oz does not do that. Because simple fact.
He's the Penguin.
Can we also talk about this? How good the makeup was for his feet? Because that was some fucked up feet.
Oh my god, it's like his feet was pointing in different area codes and continents. It was ew.
Like, I'm like, dude. Like, now I know why you limp. I don't blame you. Yours is...
I'm glad I wasn't eating during that, because I usually eat while I watched it. God.
That shit was nasty. But ew. What else stood out to you, though, as far as the show goes?
Well... About three things that I can say off the top of my head since it's still early on. Again, the score here, just like with the movie, is very strong, and it accompanies some of the scenes and the moves very well. I He's like, I don't know the name of the composer behind it, but he does a really good job at, you know, helping build the scene, you know, the emotion and the storytelling. It's just strong. I just like the score. I hope there is a score for the whole season. I'll be looking back to that. It's very good.
It was Mick Gashino that did the score for this.
Okay, so you might know the Penguin personally then. Gotcha. So, there you go. But yes, you did great in the score.
But you know what, though, man? I love the fact that they actually put a little bit of the movie score into the background.
Yeah.
It was perfect. But I also like how Michael Gacchino created the soundtrack for the spinoff show, but he also had included from Muppets, Mayhem, and Zootopia as well.
That's a very diverse. How do you go from that to it's like night and day?
Right? But he also did the Son of Batman, but he's also the son of Batman's, of the Batmans, too. Oh. So yeah, I definitely love Michael Gacchino. I think he does a fantastic job of this playing the score and doing it that way. But I also like how Oswald also talks about his past life to Vic. Because, number one, he brings Vic over to his mother's house, where she never does that to anybody.
Yeah, as you can tell by her reaction.
Right. And his mother is just as cryptid as he is. Oswald is. We mentioned that a little bit. But then he talks about his past life, about his friends, and about how they used to get slushes.
Yeah.
Too. Where he's like, have you ever mixed flavors with slush puppies before? No. You're missing out, kid. No.
And Vic is still scared because this conversation could shift at any moment. No.
He could actually kill him while he has like a slushie in his hand. It's like,
so that you're like, actually that would have been hilarious. And the dark comedy, out of the way. Right. Have you ever had slush puppies before? Nope.
Have you ever had slush puppies before?
No, man, I finished that kid when I did. I'll take a slushie. That'll teach
you. Or better yet, see what Vic goes on ahead and buys him a slushie too. So it'd be like,
right.
Thank you for the slush, kid. Boom. You like that flesh? You like that?
Cut the credits.
But then you also have the 9 to 5 song in this as well. Two, whenever they crank up the car, the old car that Vic has. Two, yeah. So they have some actual music in it for a couple of seconds.
Right, the Penguin cut that off after like 2 seconds. Like, nobody want to hear that.
Right.
Drive it.
But all in all, I mean, I think the show is really good for the start of it. But is there anything more you want to say as far as how the show is or anything?
Well, as I've said a couple of times, it's early to call it, but man, I'm really immersed with this show. I'm very interested to see how far this goes. And the Penguin is such an interesting character itself. So, you know, I'm hooked when he's in it. Now that some of these new characters are also interesting, especially Sophia, as you mentioned, who is just a nightmare that you don't want to interact with.
No, I wouldn't even want to put her on like a speed dating challenge, if you ask me. I mean, I
no, because if she turns around immediately, if I recognize her, I'm walking out of that studio and I'm going to cry in the car. Like, okay, that's Friday, you go cry.
I'm changing my address, I'm changing my name, and I'm going to Mexico.
Or if you try to go get a job and you're going into your interview and she's the person that's interviewing you,
I'm like, I'm good. I can see,
no, but I can like, see what myself. Is your real, what is your real purpose of being here? We know money is one thing, but why do you really think we should take you in it? I don't want to do this no more.
You know what? I remember I had an interview at Papa John's across the street. So right. I'm going to go over there. I just forgot. I have the same schedule and everything. Sophia, look, I'm going to go my way. You go your way and we're good. Don't worry about it.
And look, knowing her, she's probably like, oh, don't worry. I'm going to be there doing job interviews there too.
I'm the owner of all the Papa John's franchise.
In fact, I run this entire block, but you wouldn't know that.
Right. Until now. But still, all in all, the Penguin is hands down probably the best opener for this season, for this episode. I really enjoyed this episode for what it is. It was perfect. The tone was perfect. Colin Farrell does a fantastic job of playing Oswald Cobblepot. Hands down, one of the most gruesome villains that we have for the Batman. And getting to see more of him. I can't wait to see what else we have.
So,
all right. Well, that's going to be it as far as this review goes for the first episode coming out of the gate. But go on ahead, smash that like button, smash the subscribe button. Go on ahead and visit Pick the Flick Podcast, wherever you guys get your podcasts from. And also, too, go on ahead and give me a 10-star rating over there. Give him a 10-star rating as well, wherever you guys get your podcasts. Yep, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those. As a matter of fact, Spotify has this thing now, guys, where you can actually comment on our audio podcast episodes. So if you want to leave us a comment or anything and want to interact with us, that's the perfect way of doing that. And we'll respond back to you as long as you're not mean to us or anything. But
and in that case, we're just going to be like, you think I'm crazy? You think I'm really crazy?
Well, kid, we're out of here. So, all right. Everyone have a great and safe night, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. We do appreciate you so much. Thank you again, man, for joining me for this review. And always until next time, guys.
Bye-bye.